Blog Talk Radio.
Your attention, please. Pay attention, please. Be a witness. We got heroes and heroes risking their lives, bringing truth to the light. They're bringing truth to the light. Your attention, please. Pay attention, please.
I could write a legend to the ledger, and y'all would understand the rules.
Peace and blessings, and welcome to Lady Flavor Share. So I just thought that I would throw together a kind of a last-minute impromptu show so I can share some thoughts with you. I've been posting a little bit on Facebook. I've had some great, challenging conversations lately and wonderful, thought-provoking conversations with my daddy. But I thought, you know what, instead of just posting up a bunch on Facebook and Twitter and all, I thought, why not just invite you to come join me here on Flavor News Radio. If there is anybody who would like to participate in today's show, I welcome you. I'd love to hear your thoughts around what I'm going to be sharing. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. Otherwise, you know what, I'm going to play a few tracks of music just to kind of get the day started. And you know what, I'm going to start this with my dear, dear friend G. Wright, who is an amazing gospel recording artist out of the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area, and this is called Just Pray.
People are hurting, people are searching, without a hope in sight. When you are our guiding light, you've taught us just how to pray. And Father, we need you this day. We fall on our knees and say a prayer. It changes things.
Just pray
for our nation.
Just pray
for salvation.
Just pray
for deliverance.
Just pray. Just pray.
God will do a new thing, yeah.
Just pray.
We need to.
woke up this morning, I put my gym shoes on and I was just about my merry way. I started walking, I see my homie on the corner, he was chillin', he was from the Bay.
Hey, what's happening, man?
That was happening. I said, I'm just trying to make it, trying to make it, do you understand? He said, I feel ya. I put my backpack on and then I shook the young girl in my head. I kept walking, I saw a lady on the corner, she was chillin', I was running a little late. She said, what's happening? She said, hey, you're looking sexy, we should go somewhere and have a quick date. I started laughing, cause my shoes are looking shiny and my tie was looking nice and straight. No thank you, cause I'm a bona fide player and it's been that way from the gate. I'm a bona fide player and it's been that way from the gate.
Your comment regarding the beats that was convicts. Now we're using our content. I'm a fan of this rap ish. I love how the story pick. If you're rich or you poor, you are immune to this ish. Ooh, now you see out the politics, we're building the confidence. Congress unveiled a statement that started a conflict. So I respect the that don't receive any comment. They vouch without an image like that visit is nonsense. I was losing my conscience as I think about content. I'm being one of your top picks that's written for a profit. I'm not familiar with magazines, especially with top picks. As he flaws in his top list, I floss cause it's casted. Every star was never promised a sign of any kind. But we all had a reason to grind, that's how we ride. This statement I was given the guide until I find the reason why people not trying to keep hip hop alive. We both got the same plan. Chasing a dream that stands between you and every single man. That is the image you give it if you can stand a chance. Since the trip is so amazing, like a couple grand. This rap shit, we got a passion like my life demands. Every stack collected back as well as issue land. It's more to it than to do it like the realest can. So I mention competition without an open hand. So I battle the streets like the KK clan. Doing a struggle when your decisions didn't stand a chance. Look at history before I pick up culture was free. Brave hearts torn apart from all these problems we see. Every man wanna be the streets on any beat. weak, send the rest, so let it cease until your mission's complete. But now I'm getting up inside since zone 3, so let it cease. Stop pinning on the victim who tried, but been denied. In the ghetto, and that's the moment you're heritating your past when your future will last. Each moment that it lasts, you love it and stay up when you wake up to nothing, like you're balling without a budget. Every second that you're sleeping, huh, you're thinking of 100 grand in either hand, since you the man that stands above it. That's a rich kid that you with throughout the introduction. The million nuggets you discovered, so hands would never touch it. How could a child ever wish when their daddy refused to love them? Some are confused, a child with men that she was out of. Could a child stand sure from being raised in a broken home? Daddy gone, mama's blown from the way the kids on their own. How could you live right? Well, it's when you're raised wrong. Your life is like you're living each moment that you carry it on. A dream don't last long when it's gone. Just move along and leave your past and bring your future to the day you're gone.
Your dream don't last forever, so tell me what's the reason. We don't last together, since you got don't last forever.
Hold your hand and tell you that people been looking for our origin, the one recipe, the one investigation. Yes, indeed, I would never say it out loud, true feeling would never leave my mouth till I'm sure that you recognize. And you better have, I'm telling you all your secrets. He's so sweet, just add a little honey. I bet you'd increase your next situation.
Welcome to Lady Flava Shares. I've been having a lot of conversations from East Coast to West Coast to in between and with my daddy here at the house and talking about, you know, who I am and what I do and why I do it. And, you know, it is a struggle to support other people. It really is. At the same time, it can be a blessing, you know. And so I go back and forth between, you know, desiring to make a difference, you know, for artists that have come my way and, you know, trying to figure out those ways to gain the support of everybody, you know, whether it is the artist, you know, that I'm showing support to, whether it is the fans that can in turn show support to the artist. You know, whether it is the promoters, the industry people, other radio shows. I mean, the bottom line is for us to be successful in this world, we need support. None of us can do it by ourselves. And so what does that really, really look like? What does that really, really look like to need support and to give support? And that's what I would love to open up a dialogue about, you know, today here on Flava News Radio. So if there's anybody who is willing to call in and share their thoughts with me and everybody who is listening to this show live and those that come back and check out the archives, I would love to share this time with you on the air. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. If you follow me, and Facebook is the best place to follow me. trust and believe, if it's not on Facebook, you're not going to see it anywhere else. A lot of the links that I have or social networks I'm a part of, you know, I don't necessarily go over to them all the time because they're already linked with something, you know, another site that automatically posts out to all of the sites, you know. And so I believe that that's why my following and listenership, especially here on Flava News Radio, has grown tremendously. I cannot thank those people enough for, you know, coming out on a regular basis, paying attention to the shows, my conversation topics, to the great, great talents that I play. So today I thought I would open up this particular show with a variety of talents that have come my way. And I just want to show you, you know, there is a different genre, there is a different flavor to it, different messages, but you know what? Art speaks to us, right? And, you know, what is the reason that an artist or, you know, a sound catches your attention or a visual catches your attention or a book? Something to really, really think about. When we gather on the social networks, if you're connecting to me, generally I'm supporting artists who are not out there in the mainstream limelight, you know, and trying to find my own ways to help support who they are and put them before a larger audience than who they're able to put themselves before on their own. It doesn't mean that they don't have a large following per se, but it's just me being able to put them in front of my audience, the people that are paying attention to me and those that, you know, understand, you know, my purpose and why I do what it is that I do. So, you know, if you are an artist who needs support, let's hear from you. If you are a fan and you love underground independent artists of all art forms, whatever the art form is, I want to hear from you. Why do we do what it is that we do? So many of us spend a lot of time online together, a lot of time. And I was having a conversation today with one of my colleagues and saying, sometimes it feels like it's not a we. It's not a we thing. It's kind of like an I thing. But the I's are not strong enough to stand alone. And it's almost like people are faking the funk as a being a part of a we. You know, I sit back and I watch all the time what goes on the different social networks and the response, you know, to post, the, you know, the lack of response to post. I'm okay with opening myself up and having hard conversations with others, because if I don't have the ability to hear how other people perceive me, then I really shouldn't do what it is that I'm doing. And I always need to regroup. I always need to figure out and get centered. And I take different times of my life when I take that time, you know, to figure out why I do what I do and who is it that I want to support and who is it that I want to reach. What are the needs of what I'm doing? As a small business owner, I'll take you a little bit back. In 2003, you know, an idea was brought to my attention. What would it look like to build your own business and to own your own business? I was a domestic violence advocate at that time, and it was a very, very stressful job. You know, you deal with crisis all the time, and I was the advocate that lived the closest to the emergency shelter. And so, in a sense, I made myself available. It was very rewarding work, though, you know, to be able to make a difference in the life of a woman or her children. You know, that's very rewarding, to be able to bring them into safe housing and help place them in safe housing. You know, that's very rewarding. Of course, not all situations, you know, turned out for the best. And then you have to just simply get on your knees and just put them up, you know, and send the prayers up for them. In a sense, I feel like I've gone the same direction when it comes to artists. And this is something that kind of fell into my laps, you know, right before I closed Flava Coffee House. I established Flava News in 2007. In 2008, I closed Flava Coffee House's door. And it wasn't because I had to, but I really, really went through the process as a business owner and had some great people to form a committee that helped me identify, was it beneficial to stay open 5 more years because the lease was 5 years at a time? You know, or was it more beneficial to close their doors and see what direction I could take things, you know, from that point? And so immediately I fell into this Lady Flava thing because I had already established myself as a book reviewer of African-American literature. I'm going to tell you, you know, being a cheerleader of artists, of authors, of music, of different art forms, it's not easy. You know, when you deal with people who are extremely passionate about who they are and what they do, and then I'm a strong personality on top of it, sometimes personalities clash. It doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. It doesn't mean that the creative soul is not, you know, is not a bad person. But sometimes personalities don't mesh very well. Then there are other people who are just strictly opportunists, you know, and I'm learning. I'm still learning, you know, to try to figure out these personalities and what type of personalities best fit what it is, you know, that I want to accomplish and what direction can I go to in helping others, you know, get out there and gain more exposure and potential fans and potential consumers. Too many times I can speak of it out here in Seattle, Washington. You know, the shows are not necessarily put together the best, whether it has to do with, you know, the quality of acts that are put onto the stage to the understandings and agreements with the promoters and you know, venues or whatever it is. And I know that we can do a much better job because we have some absolutely amazing talents out here in Seattle. And so, you know, I've heard stories from other people that are doing it, you know, out there. And, you know, what does it take, you know, to try to do something better? You know, a lot of it, again, comes back to having a thick skin and being able to, take heed to what others may say about what it is that you're doing and grow from that and do better from that. And so, you know, I just sit back and I watch. You know, I pay attention. I try to figure this out. I try to be smart. It's not an easy, it is not an easy, you know, not an easy industry to be a part of, and it's and you know, to stay true to your passion, to stay true to your purpose, sometimes it just kind of gets all jacked up. And so, you know, that's why I come to the radio. That's why I post on Facebook, because I have conversations with all kinds of people, but willing to you know, open themselves up to have the conversations with, you know, people publicly. And I think that if we could have more roundtables and open up honestly about, you know, what we feel about being an artist or what we feel about being a fan and wanting to support artists or industry people, you know, the needs, whatever it is, I think we need to have those open conversations because so much is getting brushed under the rug. And it's not being addressed, and so it feels like people don't feel like they're supported. And so I share openly, and I try to, if nothing else, not necessarily get your feedback, but at least get you to start thinking, you know, what is it that I think and I feel? What is it that I could do differently? If I honestly say that I support, what does that really, really look like? It is so challenging to get people to hit the share button on any social network. Facebook makes it so very easy for you to share, whether it has to do with the radio station who's playing your music, such as Flava News, or whether it has to do with an artist that you claim that you support. Hitting the share button is so essential to an artist or a radio station or, you know, a promoter or whomever is out there working with you and putting out great things for you to experience. Sharing with your network is really, really important. But we don't understand that, and we don't do it. It's easier to hit the like button. It's easier to get pulled into the drama that is, you know, brought online than it is to show support. And then going into the end of, like, 2011, I said, what can I do differently? How can I be more effective with this? Because I recognized a lot of the needs that artists have, and even the needs that I have as a radio show host or, you know, as somebody who cheers artists on. What is it that's needed? And a lot of it, again, is support by just simply, you know, spreading the word and putting whomever out in front of your audience. It also means supporting financially. So many of the artists that I'm connected to have been at this for a while, many, many years. They have not even begun to recoup the financial aspect of what they put into their art to create for you. They have not recouped the time that they have dedicated to creating. Their families have suffered, you know, and, well, should I say suffered, have made sacrifices for the artist to create, you know, and they have made sacrifices. And for some reason, we will spend money on a mainstream artist, you know, and we will claim to love an underground independent artist who's not out there in the spotlight, but not be willing to support them. And I find that difficult to swallow. You know, I find it very, very difficult to swallow. So the conversations I've been having, because I really want to turn Flava News into a legitimate business, I want to get it to the point where I'm not the only person doing it. I would love to be able to have some staff and be able to pay them to be able to provide better support for the artists. I would love to, you know, set up events, you know, here and there. And I would love to set up a grant foundation to help financially support artists. And so I reached out to people and said, you know what, join the movement. Become a part of building something that is going to be in support of yourself or in support of artists. And I did get a lot of artists in the beginning to come on board. The interesting thing about all of that is it kind of stopped. I'm not into like begging people, but I am into setting boundaries and I am into setting standards. And so I recognize the fact that if I just stayed with the artists that did join the movement, who said that they believed in what it is that I do, that was okay. But as time went by and as life goes on, you know, it became challenging again for me. And the artists were not, you know, supporting the fact that I was playing their music. They would support it if I was to tell them ahead of time I was going to play their music. And I'm just, you know, my personality is not the kind of personality I do playlists. I just don't. So to expect that out of me, don't expect it, because I'm not going to do it. I basically kind of go off of a mood, you know. Maybe I have a theme that I go with, but I don't ever come up with a playlist. And so, but the funny thing is that I have a very large international following, and that's who comes and listens to the archives of the great talents that I play on my show. And so I don't know what kind of value there is in that for the artists, you know, or even the fans, you know. And the reason I say that is because at this level and who we are, we need to be able to support each other. We need to show appreciation for those that are, you know, showing support to anything that is being done out there, and especially when you are not having to pay for those services to be supported. So I built the movement. I asked for $1 per month or $12 a year in the very beginning. Then I changed it the following year to $5. Anybody who joined in 2011, they were grandfathered in at $1. And I do have people, you know, who are a part of the movement. They've got a setup for, you know, regular, you know, payments. You know, I've had people payola. How can $1 or $5 a month be payola? You know, this is about building something. If you think about the people that we are connected to, just, we'll say Facebook, you know, I've got, what, 3,600 people. You know, I believe you top out at 5,000. If even a fourth of them were to give a dollar, do you know what I could do in support of you? Do you know that we could purchase our own, you know, radio station server? Do you know that we could put on events in different locations, or we could help an author publish their book, or we could put on an event, you know, in Atlanta, Georgia, or we could fly an artist somewhere, you know, to participate in a show outside of their region. There's so many things that we could do with that. But that's challenging. So if it's challenging to financially support, then, and it's challenging to get people to share with their networks about artists or about radio stations or about, you know, people in the industry, where is the growth? Where is the growth, and where can we move if we don't do that to support each other? So, you know, I just want you to think about that. I want you to think about it. But, you know, I started out today's show playing a piece, which I think was absolutely perfect to start out today's show, and that was by my dear, dear friend G. Wright, called Pray. And I met G, oh, gosh, what, maybe 2008? I'm thinking, you know, here on Blog Talk Radio, he hosts a gospel Christian show. And when Kimora was a baby, we would, you know, we would sit and listen to his show. Sometimes I would call in and participate, and that's how I became connected. And I think he's just a beautiful person. It's wonderful to have Christian friends out there, and I think he's got an absolutely amazing voice. Then I brought it up here to the Pacific Northwest and played a piece by my baby boy, Delton's son. He's got so much heart. He is a thought-provoking painter, along with being, you know, a musical talent, and plays keyboards and all. And, you know, and in his song, you know, Recovery, that features Owara Runga, the trumpeter out of the Pacific Northwest, there's a message, you know. It, you know, recovery, it's not an easy thing. You know, you need support, right, around what it is that you're going through, no matter what type of situations or circumstances you need to recover from. And then I took you down to Houston, Texas, and played Infamous B with A Dream featuring my dear, dear friend DeLon White. You know, and just, you know, the words to that song, and then going into Mark Van Claggett with Call On Me, you know, and then closing out with Honeybee La Rochelle up there in Vancouver, Canada, with her piece Be Your Babe, you know. And I met her through Soul Factory, you know, out in New York. And that's how I got connected with her. And the music all speaks in different ways. We experience some amazing talents. You cannot tell me that these artists are not as good as those mainstream artists, if not better, that are out there. And what can we do to support them? What does that look like to support these artists, you know, and help them? We as the fans and listeners and those that experience their art, we have the power to push them out there. How do you think the mainstream artists got out there? You know, when I go about this industry and trying to figure out how to find funds to put on events or to find sponsors, do you know how many times I've had meetings and I've sat down with people that said, Lady Flava, I believe in you. Let's see what we can do. And then nothing. And then absolutely nothing. You know, and I'm like, okay, what? Did I do something? What? And I'm pretty organized, and I'm pretty thorough with things that I do. I don't know all the lingo. I don't know, you know, how to do certain documents to the T, but trust and believe, when I type up a proposal or a business plan or whatever, it's full of everything that you need, you know, and then nothing. I can't get people to support with a dollar a month to build this. And so, you know, people are starting to share with me. Professionals in the industry who like me and respect me are sharing with me what they believe that I should do. But you know what? Let me bring in a caller, because he's been waiting so very patiently on the line. So let me bring him in. All right, DeLon White, thank you so much for waiting so long for me to bring you in.
Hey. Thank you again, once again for supporting. Everything you touched on, in our private conversations, trust and believe, I do truly listen to you and try to, process everything and say, hey, she has a point about, A, B, or C, or whatever. And so please never feel like your advice falls on deaf ears, just for me, it's kind of frustrating because, I do have people behind the scenes that kind of support me, close friends and family, my wife supports me, my family supports me, things like that, but also sometimes I kind of feel like, do people really listen or it's kind of sporadic. I don't know. I know there's things I have to do on my end to put out, better products and maybe more often. I just don't believe in just writing just for the sake of writing. I just want to, I'm trying to revamp everything I'm doing and do what people are looking for. I don't know. You and I have talked this to death, and every point you hit on is valid. I just really don't know much more I can really add to it, except I know that I have to look at myself and say, okay, well, what is it that, it can't always be everybody else, and there's certain things that I have to do to maybe make people more interested and stuff, I don't know. You're one of the strongest supporters of any of the indie artists out here. I applaud your effort. There's not much more I can really add to that.
I hear what you're saying as far as you as an artist, DeLon, and feeling that you need to be able to do more to gain the support of people. I totally hear you on that part. But there are a lot of artists out there who are out there and who, in my opinion, are doing a great job in promoting who they are and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I have had so many conversations with people, from here in the Pacific Northwest to nationally and internationally about artists that they love. And then I sit back and I watch. And I don't see them do anything for those artists that they say that they love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that word of mouth is such a very powerful tool when it comes to progress as an unknown artist or a small business. And I don't know why people don't step up and support. I have worked the door at an event here in Seattle, and people wanting to get in free to the event yet are the same people who are online throwing out there how people don't support. I have seen people want to get in free at events here in Seattle, but then they go and spend $50 at the bar. The bar doesn't go to the artist. The door generally goes to the artist here. And so you totally bypassed supporting the artist and you supported the venue. And I don't understand the thinking of people and what they don't get about what it means to show genuine support and why that's so hard. And I use this as an example frequently because it just stands out in my mind and it baffles me. But, Prince was here a few months back, and it was $250 a ticket.
Wow.
And people paid it. Now, did Prince know that they were there?
Right.
You know what I mean? But if you were to come and support a local event and pay $10, there's a good chance if you go up to that artist, if they don't even know you, they will. But you go up to them, they'll tell you they appreciated you coming, ask you what you thought about the experience, told you where they could, you know, you could follow them online. You know, you could have a one-on-one conversation, and that artist would feel great about, you know, meeting you. That artist may have potentially found another member to be a part of their street team if the person enjoyed the experience. And, you know, at the same time, they, in a sense, earned, you know, your $10 to put hopefully towards their next project, you know. And for people to think that everything is free out there, nothing is free. Nothing is free. Okay, we don't have to pay to go on Facebook at this point, but we have to pay to have the tools to go on Facebook, whether it's from your phone, your tablet, your laptop, your computer. Those things cost money. To turn on electricity, you know, to turn on internet, those things cost money. So there's nothing that's free in what we're doing. If you're a writer, you have to pay to have your books edited and published, and most times you have to pay, you know, somebody to proofread your book and to create graphics for your book cover. You know, it all costs money to create a CD. You have to go into the studio. Most people are paying at least $50 an hour to go into a studio. Then you have to pay to have it mixed and mastered. You have to pay to copyright and get your music license. You know, and so when it comes to being an artist, it's not cheap. Most people, you know, do it because they have a passion and they have a talent to do it. And for some reason, when you talk money, it's as if that's a taboo thing on this level. And that for some reason, when you talk money, it takes away from the passion of what you do. Right. And so why is that? Why is it a taboo to talk money? I mean, it's just like me being on Blog Talk Radio. It costs money to do the radio show. It used to be free once upon a time when I first started on Blog Talk, but it's no longer free, you know? And the funny thing is that famous people are now using Blog Talk Radio. When you log into Blog Talk Radio, the first thing you see is Tavis Smiley's face. Big old banner for Tavis Smiley being on Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
You know, Lisa Nichols, who's part of the Chicken Soup for the Soul or whatever, you know, she's in The Secret. She's on Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
You know? And so the mainstream people are starting to use some of the tools that the underground people are using. So what does that say?
Right.
You know? And so it's like, Delon, I think I've gotten tired. I think I've gotten really tired. And I think that it's probably evident that supporting artists in some ways has taken a toll from me,
Right. Well,
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
You're fine.
Is you know, don't despair, because trust me when I tell you, for every Joe Schmo that claims they support you and expect it to be a one way street, you know, out of maybe 10 of those, you get a truly talented artist such as Black Stax or Monica Monet, or you know people like that who've really earned it and really believe in you also, and they don't look at everything as a one-way street. They look at everything as a two-way street. You know what I mean? You know, even though I've supported, you know, in small ways toward you, you know, I try to always keep in mind that, you know, you're one of the first people I'll hit up for advice on something or try to support, you know, in any way I can, you know, because that, you know, how much love and respect you've shown to me, you know. So, you know, I would say don't despair. I mean, I know it's hard, and, you know, I mean, because you're doing something right. I mean, because you are expanding yourself. You're not, you know, retracting. You know, you are getting more listeners out there, things like that. You know, and I understand your frustration. Trust me, I've rarely ever made any money from music, and nothing to speak about. You know, the last time I actually got a real check from doing something musically, I didn't even cash it. It was only like for a couple of bucks,
right?
Literally, you know what I'm saying? And so, but I didn't let that stop me. You know, I was just like, you know, hey. I understand that I'm going to have to do a lot of crawling before I walk, you know, but there are some people who want to see me win, you know, even at work. I have people coming to me all the time, you're singing, you're doing this, you're making all the music, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and so I have to step my game up, you know, also, you know. But as for, there's just some people that, because of technology and downloading and things like that, they feel that they don't have to pay for anything anymore. And maybe that's part of the problem, you know. That, you know, in the 70s and 80s and things like that, when you could actually buy albums and stuff, there was no such thing as free music and downloading, and you know, and it wasn't a thing where just anyone could do it. And I think that's part of the problem, is that a lot of people are under the impression that there's nothing, for lack of a better term, you say, special about what a talent does and what goes on behind it. You know what I mean? And then, you know, with the American Idol shows and all this other stuff, people are under the impression, at least, oh, I'll just get in, stand in line for a few hours, you know, sing a bar or something, now I'm on TV, and, you know, suddenly they're stars, and in some cases for no reason. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, at least in their hometown. They may not make it all the way to the top, but, you know, and this is no diss of American Idol, of course, but I'm just saying as an example, you know, someone, you know, who's marginally talented or not talented at all they have to do is be seen on TV singing something, and if it sounds halfway decent, I guarantee you they'll get more Facebook hits, they'll get more Twitter hits. You know, if they put a song out on the internet, I guarantee you that somebody will probably buy it. And it's just the nature of the beast, I guess, at this point. You know what I mean? So I think part of the problem is people, the mass consumer is under the impression that anyone can do it. So, and, you know, half the stuff is free anyway, so there's no need to put any real effort behind someone, unless it's like someone like a Prince or somebody like that, you know. I guess I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but that's my personal impression.
Well, I think that you're right, that, you know, the way this internet era that we are in right now, it has made it very easy for people to create. You can make your own, press your own CDs from your home, off your computer. You can download programs free, you know, on your computer. You can publish a book on computer. You can create graphics, you know, all kinds of things for free now. And the bad thing is when we discuss quality versus creating, that, I mean, there's so much out there that's so subpar. And but for some reason, the people that are creating are under the impression that it's good and that it should be marketed, you know, against the best. I don't know if that's something that is coming straight from them or if somebody's feeding it to them, or if the people who is saying it honestly believes that it's so, because now we are in a time where so much is left up to the matter of people's opinions, interpretations. There isn't, you know, that black and white thing. You know, there's so much in the gray area now. you know, and so it makes it difficult. So that's a perfect segue into me talking about some of the conversations I've had with people in the industry that are bigger in the industry end of it, from record labels to promoters to distribution companies and all of that. And I've had and to journalists who write about music. And the interesting thing is that I was talking to a distribution person out of Los Angeles the other day, and he said the market is so saturated with poor quality and non-talented people that it makes it difficult to screen through who they would even consider working with to distribute their music. Then, you know, it comes down to people who do not even have the business aspect down of their music, from their music being copywritten and licensed, you know, to, you know, understanding, you know, all aspects of the business. And it used to be where I believe that record labels were, you know, would help groom artists and help them get there. I believe because of all the competition that's out there right now, they're expecting you to figure it out on your own. Now, how do you do that? You know, the internet is such a great tool. Artisthouse.org is a great tool for musical talents to find out and understand what you need to do. But a lot of artists won't go that direction to even know. They will not step outside of their friends and family to get an honest critique of their work, you know, and so it makes it hard for the industry people. I had another conversation with another industry company that can provide management, marketing, a radio airplay to distribution, internet and in-store distribution, and he said it starts with the music. He's like, Flava, let me hear the music first, and I'll tell you if it's something that we can work with. So sometimes it's just as simple as that, is wanting to know what the talent even sounds like and the quality of the product. The thing is that these gentlemen that I'm speaking about right now, it costs money to work with them. They don't do it for free. So the artists have to have money to pay. Once they're at that level of when they talk about taking it to the next level, see, we've had this capability of using these free tools for a long time. Facebook, you know, MySpace, you know, Tumblr, Twitter, Reverb Nation, Our Stage, you know, whatever it is that you're using as an artist to get yourself out there. Those tools are free. Yet there are, you know, tools that you can purchase to enhance your experience on those sites also. So when you talk about taking things to the next level, it costs money. And the artists don't have the money to take it to the next level. Now, the people that I spoke to, they would say, you know what, that's weak. That's a weak excuse, that if you want to take things to the next level, you will have the money to invest in yourself. Now, are they wrong to take it that way? They're business people, so you can't necessarily be mad at them. They're already set. They already have quality artists they're working with. You know, doesn't mean that they wouldn't benefit and love to work with some more new people, but they're not going to do it for free. And so I respect that. So where do the artists, you know, come up with the finances to take things to the next level? How many times have we had conversations with people or seen it online wanting to take it to the next level, taking it to the next level? What does that even mean? There are people that I see online that are in the same place as when I first got on Facebook. You know, and there hasn't been any progress. you know, and stuff. And so it's like, what does that even mean? So for people to think that they don't have to financially save to take things to the next level, if they don't think that they don't need to somehow come up with financial means to really perfect their art. You could be extremely talented, but you have not perfected your art. There are people out there that do this for different reasons. That's okay. You need to be honest with yourself and identify where you really plan on going with your art and who is it that you need along the way. So the reason being of, you know, again, going back to the Flava News movement and trying to kind of weed out people who are not really, really connected. I think that's so wrong when people reach out on this level and want support, yet they're really not connected. I like being able to tell people stories. When I play your music, I want to know something about you that I can talk about. You know, I think that's one of the things that causes me to stand out over other people, because I'll talk, you know, and I'll share something that I know about the artists that I play. And so it takes it to a little different level. I've had so many times when people have come on and done a leopard carpet show with me, and they said, you know what, it feels like we were at the kitchen table having coffee with you. That's my, you know, part of my brand, part of my trademark of who I am and how I do things. Because I like talking. I like getting to know people. I want people to know. I don't think that you need to know every detail about an artist in their life, but I think that once you get a sense of their personality and why they create, it makes you feel a little bit more connected. And on this level, that's kind of what you need. You need people to feel connected to you, to help push you out there. And I think that there are many things that I do very well, you know, when it comes to putting, you know, artists out there. And, you know, so even for me, Delon, and everybody else who's listening to this show right now, even for me, I'm at a point, I'm at a standstill, because it takes money to take it to the next level.
Right. Well, if I could add something to what you were saying, and you also, I think for us artists, is that sometimes when you look at the price tag that people throw out, sometimes they're sending a couple of messages with that. And I'll give you an example. There was a producer that I spoke to a couple of years ago, and this guy, I went to his house, and like his studio was laid out, but the music was beyond this planet. I was like, oh my goodness, if I could just get one song, you know, and get it completed with this guy, I'll be golden. You know what I mean? But he was like, well, you can't afford me. And I was like, well, what's your going rate per track or whatever? Because he was like, well, I only work with major people, and I charge $10,000 a song.
Mm.
Now, sure, maybe that's what he charges major artists, but I think he was also trying to send me a message like, you got a lot to do before you can message me.
Okay.
And before I consider you to do anything with. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that if he really thought that I was that talented, like, you know, I can't let this guy get away, we could have worked something out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But, you know, he listened to a couple of my songs, whatever, a couple of demos, and, you know, he wasn't impressed. And
okay.
So, you know, I don't know if that was his true price tag, but I will say, honestly, the music that I heard and the completed projects, I can see why for a major artist he might charge something like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But I'm just saying, you know, sometimes people will scare you off with the big numbers, and they're doing that for a reason, because they're trying to weed you out. You know what I mean? And if it's like, okay, well, if you really want to make something happen, and you go back and you do your homework, and then come back and see me when you're really ready, then we'll see where we're at. You know,
sure.
At least that's the impression I have.
Sure, and I could, you know, and from, you know, how you describe that particular situation, scenario, I think, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe it could be that's why, you know, he went the direction that he did with you, is to say, you know what, you're not ready, you know, at this point. And, you know, and so, you know, you got to appreciate that from his standpoint. And, you know, again, when you step into this arena as being an artist publicly, you open yourself up for people's opinions, mm-hmm. for people's interpretations of who you are and what you're doing. You know, there are people who love me, honestly, you know, sharing my thoughts, and there are other people that said, Flava, you know what, quit your whining and bitching, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, I do think that there are different steps that can be taken where things can be created, and maybe that ultimate goal is being able to get to the point of working with that producer in the future. It doesn't mean that you don't have the capability of creating something right now, you know, getting into a different studio situation or recording situation, you know, or whatever. But it's, you know, I would, for instance, with you, I would never discourage you because, oh my gosh, Delon, you already know how I feel about your voice. You know, there's just nobody else out there, you know, in my arena, you know, that I know of that sings like you. So I would never discourage you from singing. You know, if I have to play Happy Home the rest of my life, I just, you know, I got you singing the Star Spangled Banner or something, you know, I would just do that. You know what I mean? Or yeah. I say, Delon, can you sing for me? You know, I will always support you as an artist. And yes, you know, you have supported me too, you know, from the very beginning and in different ways. And so, you know, when I speak about things, Delon, I'm never speaking about you. I'm never speaking about Blackstax or Monica or Mark or, you know, any artist like that, you know. But I do think that people really need to be mindful, you know, what it is that they need. And when you reach out for support, I think it's really important to give support because we're all, in a sense, on the same level. We're all, in a sense, trying to grow. And, you know, I was having a conversation with another colleague today, and, you know, and that was the exact, you know, statement that was said. You need to give support to benefit. Mm-hmm. You know, the connections that I have right now, they are, like, phenomenal. I talk about it all the time. You never know who's paying attention, you know. And these people have done research on me. They sat back quiet. I didn't know that they were watching, you know. And then they reached out, you know, and send me private messages. It's very rare, very rare, you see any of these people I'm speaking about even hitting the like button on my page. They don't do it. They don't repost behind me or any of that type of stuff. But I can say that they're doing big things and working with some very quality artists, you know. And some of them, you know, are working with some famous artists, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, I think about the things that they say, you know, because to learn and grow, you have to pay attention to who is really doing it. That's how you're going to learn. If you can connect with somebody who will share with you, you know, that's how you learn and grow. Nobody ever knows everything, you know. And so I may not always like what I hear. I mean, one person said, you know what, Flava, you're never going to do anything until you're financially healthy in this industry. Right. I was like, you know what? I didn't like hearing that, but I understood why that person said that to me. Right. You know, another said
you... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say also to add to the point is about remaining humble and dropping the ego. That's something I had to personally do for myself. You know, for years, people were like, well, you know, you need to do this, this, that, or whatever. And, you know, that pride would kick in and you'd be like, oh man, you know, this person doesn't know what they're talking about or hating or whatever. But you know what, you have to, I humbled myself and said, look, I can't, you know, my name is not Prince. I can't write it all. I can't
play every instrument. I can't produce it all. I can't sing every note, you know what I mean? So I have to get back into my lane and stick with, you know, working on my craft with the singing and, you know, doing some writing, of course. But, you know, I have to now go to people who can provide that kind of, you know, the marketing music, you know, or, you know, the professional sound that's required. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
I think that once you open yourself up like that and people say, hey, okay, this guy's not going to be hard to work with, you know, he or she is willing to let me get my hands on them without a whole lot of fighting and, you know, and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're more receptive. And I think that would also help, you know, artists such as myself, is we have to understand that, you know, until that hit record comes along, we're in no position to say I can do it all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Very few artists, period, have ever been in a position so talented and smart that they've been able to, for by and large, do it all.
Right.
You know, and so,
it is. I mean, it is difficult. You know, I mean, just even with myself, it's difficult to do what it is that I do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2009, you know, I had a business partner, and I attempted that, and things, you know, in a sense, didn't totally work out, you know. Still have much love for him and everything, you know, but things just didn't work out in that direction to have an additional person to, you know, pick up some of the slack and do some of the things. So I don't feel like I have to do it all. I'm a control freak. I'll admit to that publicly. I'm a control freak. If I want it done a certain way, I want it done a certain way. And I'd rather disappoint my own self than to have somebody else disappoint me. You know, there are things that I don't know how to do and get frustrated when I can't figure it out, and I try to do the Google thing and try to figure it out from, you know, Googling it. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I can call somebody and say, okay, why did this happen, you know, or whatever, when I'm trying to figure out, you know, technical things online or whatever, you know. But, you know, my whole thing is people getting paid. I really sincerely believe that. If you're a quality artist, you deserve to get paid. If I need your help, I want to be able to pay you, you know, to provide that service or whatever product that I need. You know, I want to be able to pay you. So if I'm not able to do what I practice and preach so much out there, then I, in a sense, will step back and not even seek out a person, you know, because I just hate that favor thing. I do. I mean, and I know, because I support people in many ways, I deserve to get the free, you know, to get an advance free, to get the book free, to get the CD for free, to, you know, whatever it is, that I could call on people. But I really strongly believe that if I say that people and artists and businesses should get paid, then I need to be able to pay too. And, you know, so whenever I'm able to, I will buy, you know, an artist's art, you know, so that I'm showing them financial support and I'm practicing what I preach, you know. But when you put, again, when you put yourself out there publicly, you open yourself up for people's opinions and interpretations. So I feel very blessed. I feel very blessed that I have the people that are watching me. I feel very blessed that they respect me enough to reach out and tell me, you know, what they're thinking. You know, I've had people tell me recently, I'm doing too much. I need to narrow it down. Less is more. You know, I've honestly had people say, you know what, you really need to stop trying to support everybody and just only work with Black Stax and Mark Van Claggett.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because in working with them, you know, they are a source of income for me. They are somebody that, you know, my name is all over, and I benefit when they benefit, you know, in working on those projects. You know, like you said earlier in the show, they believe in me, you know, and so it's very easy to support and be a part of their team because it's not a one-way thing. Not for any of the artists I work closely with. It's not a one-way thing. So I could stop. I could totally just go with the five or six artists that I work closely with, you know, and it ranges from, you know, the music industry to the literary and spoken word, you know, arena, or the people that I work the most closely with. You may not always see it online because the projects may be, you know, things that are taking place behind the scenes and all of that, but, you know, who I work with closely, you know, are Black Stax, Monica Monet, Mark Van Claggett, Lamont Carey, and Alvin Horn. And, you know, so I could do that. And honestly, it would be easier to do that. You know, I know exactly what I need to do. I know who I can present them in front of. I know who, you know, I just know what to do when it comes to those guys. They all recognize, and they would all love me to just dedicate my time to them. They really would.
Right.
You know, but they also recognize that a lot of my passion is supporting other artists too. You know, and so, you know, I'm a little torn. I understand why the industry people are telling me that, you know, that I should pull in and back off and just support, you know, the people who I work closely with. So, you know, so like I said, I open myself up for conversations with industry people. And there's a few more people I owe conversations to, you know. But in all of this, you know, my daddy experiences me having these conversations with people. He and I have intense conversations and good conversations around who I am and what I do and why I do it. And this isn't just since we've been in this house. You know, we used to, you know, go to IHOP frequently and eat after appointments and have these conversations. And, you know, he would always encourage me. You know, he'd always let me know he was proud of me. He understood why I believe in supporting people and supporting the underdogs, you know. And after many, many conversations and months and years of this, you know, yesterday, honestly, you know, Daddy said, you know what, maybe what you need to do is stop and only support those that support you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes you have to do that, you know. And it sounds harsh, but, you know, that's at the end of the day, that's what it is, you know. I mean, you may have to consider that.
And, you know, what would that look like? What would that look like when it comes to Flava News Radio? What would that look like when it comes to, you know, what it is that I'm doing? I mean, it's just like even when I said, okay, maybe the direction of, in a sense, having a Flava News membership thing isn't working, which I really don't understand why it's not necessarily something that works, you know, and people wouldn't understand the whole concept of it, because I believe that people think that I'm asking for $1 or $5 or whatever to get paid. I don't work for $1. I don't work for $5. Trust and believe. The last, you know, I just got paid $500 for a project the other day, you know? So it's like, I don't work for $1 or $5, you know. So then I had some great people reach out to me. Funny thing is, they were both hip-hop artists who said, Lady Flava, why don't you do a compilation CD? Ask artists that are part of the Flava News movement to donate a track to go towards a compilation CD. It would gain them exposure, you know, in front of people who would purchase it. It would also provide a revenue to grow the Flava News movement. I thought that was a great idea. Off the bat, you know, I got 9 people to sign on. Do you realize how many artists I play on my radio show?
Yeah, a lot more.
Now, I could take those 9 artists and support them with the CD. I could do that. Now, is that what the direction I should go? You know, and, you know, so that's something I'm thinking through, too. You know, because I feel very blessed that those 9 artists agreed to give me a track or have already given me a track for the project.
Right.
You know, do I cut back? You know, who do I play on Flava News Radio? How many artists out there tell people that they're heard on Flava News Radio?
Right.
You know, because, you know, every time I do a radio show, I tag the artists in it who I play.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time. You know, and so how many of those artists have actually... There's a few, and don't get me wrong, and I'm not speaking to those that who will post it out that I played their music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the majority do not share the fact that I play their music. Now, people could say, oh, is that the reason why you're doing the radio, is to get recognition? No, this is about building a win-win.
Right.
When people don't have money to work from, saying thank you and showing your support for somebody who's supporting you, that's the win-win. And I know
mm-hmm.
that I probably sound bitter in saying all of that, but it's a fact.
Yeah,
the more that, you know, the more that I gain exposure for you, you know, the more recognition and hits I can show that I have, the more I have to play and leverage myself out there with people who can help. Because the other thing is, in this industry, they look for how many hits you're getting. How many followers do you have? How many listens to the radio shows? How many hits to your Reverb Nation? You know what I mean? A lot of it comes down to numbers. That's why people pay for hits to their YouTubes. That's why I had no idea that people could pay for hits. You know,
yeah.
That kind of makes me sad, too, that people are paying for hits to stuff. So...
Right.
Then it made me realize when I see, you know, a million hits to something, but you see, you know, maybe 100 comments, there's something
mm-hmm.
wrong there.
Right.
You know, but I never thought about that before, you know, and so people, you know, paying to get hits, that's crazy, but that's why, because for somebody to be recognized, whether it's off of YouTube or, you know, here on Blog Talk Radio or whatever it is, that, you know, you need hits.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
When
I'm
was
definitely not paying for it because I'm still
right.
in the low thousands.
Right, exactly. You know, and I know that it caught up with some mainstream artists and record labels on YouTube, and they had to pull, you know, their videos. They got their videos pulled off of YouTube because of paying for hits. You know,
mm-hmm.
so some of that is you know, being challenged and taken away. You know, but, you know, the things that are needed to move forward, you know, you need to have an audience. You need to have financial means to work from. I have people who've talked about investing in me but have not invested in me because I've not shown that I have a way of creating a revenue for Flava News. You know, and so those people who have talked about either being a sponsor or an investor have not done so. And I understand why. You know, it's one of those hard conversations again. You know, when you cannot prove that, in a sense, that you're deserving as a business, then people are leery. You know, it's just like people who are sponsors and investors in showcases. They want to know how many people you're going to get in the door. How many tickets are you going to sell? You know, and, you know, to be able to get their financial help. And there's different situations, you know, what that even looks like for people to invest or sponsor an event and what they want to get out of it in the end. You know, so... Even if I go to Starbucks and say, you know, would you be a sponsor of a Black Stacks event? I'm going to have to prove to Starbucks I have a certain number of people that are going to be there that they can put Starbucks in front of, you know, or whatever it is. And so, you know, this is, you know, it's fun in the beginning. It's exciting, you know, but when you get to the business part of it and you get to the seriousness of this industry, it is challenging. It is tiring. It is frustrating, you know. And so it goes back to what do I do now? You know, what do I do to take care of myself? And what do I do to continue to support artists?
Yeah.
You know, do I just stop and support those that show support to me? You know, somebody said...
No,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You have to go by what you feel is in your heart. You may just have to literally sit down with a piece of paper and look at the pros and cons on continuing with what your dream is and look at your reality. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can suggest. I mean, only you can really answer that question, I guess. I mean, from a business standpoint, I see what they're saying. It's like concentrate on the money makers, and then once you're in a financial situation to pull some the next setup, then that's the way to do it. You know, you could look at it that way. I don't know. I mean, but I do see what you're talking about.
You know, and maybe I'm too much of a dreamer. Maybe I want to do too much, and maybe if I didn't want to do too much, it wouldn't matter as much to me. I guess I feel like I could be successful at putting on events. I believe that I could be successful in having a 24-hour radio station. I believe that I could be successful at so many things that I dream of being able to help, you know, artists with, you know. I believe that with the right people, or if we were all to build together, again, build together with a dollar a month, we could help fund things for artists just out of the Flava News movement. We wouldn't have to go after investors or sponsors. We could be our own sponsor. Because Flava News is not about me. It's just not. And I don't know if that's the direction that people think, that Flava News is about me. If I didn't have artists to play, if I didn't have artists to support and believe in, there wouldn't be no Flava News. There would be no Flava News Radio. You know, of course, you know, I enjoy being out there. I enjoy talking on the radio. You know, when 2009, I never expected to go this far and go this direction and have so many people listening to my radio shows. You know, in the beginning, it was like I wasn't comfortable in talking, you know, on the air. But now, as you can tell, well, even by tonight, you know, I can talk. I'll share my thoughts. I'll play some good music, you know, and I don't have a problem with doing that. And so... You know, yeah, I trust and believe, Delon, you know, I have sat back and I've written out and thought this through, and I totally understand why these people are saying what they're saying. You know, I am being, you know, pushed in a direction to support only quality artists, quality production, artists that are ready to make moves, you know, artists that have their EPKs and their press kits and their pitches and everything ready to go. You know, when somebody says, I need this from you, you need to be ready. Somebody reached out to me recently, and I was in a bad mood. I really needed to go back to sleep and wake up on the right side of the bed because I had woken up on the wrong side of the bed. And a manager reached out to me, well, actually two managers reached out to me by email about their artists. I had requested EPKs and all of their stuff. I had, yeah. They didn't provide any of that. And I'm like, you know, it may sound snobby or whatever, but I'm at a point, my life is so busy, I don't have time to babysit. That was like your chance to get at me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you come back and you send me what it is that I had requested in the first place, maybe I'll open up that email, maybe I won't. Because you had that one time to get at me, to capture my attention. You know, I spent some time before I did this radio show, and I went through and cleaned out all of my Blog Talk Radio emails, because there's an email inbox on Blog Talk. I didn't even read any of them. Then I went to my business emails for Flava News, and I deleted a whole bunch over there without even opening them up. I get so many emails. That's why I don't go to my Facebook inbox, because most of it is spam stuff or stuff I don't even want to look at. You know, and so somebody's pretty lucky if they send me a message and I see it, you know, in the inbox. And actually open it up, because most of them I don't open up, you know. And so, you know, it's just like the people that I've been talking to and reaching out to about, you know, artists or whatever. You know, I had to send them an email in a certain way to get them to open it up and respond. You know, so, you know, I'm learning those things about this industry, because I take it serious. This isn't a fun pastime for me. Maybe in 2007 it was. Mm-hmm. You know, I did it for fun. It entertained me while I had quiet days at Flava Coffee House. You know, yeah. But when I really started getting serious, and then when I really started doing radio, you know, I mean, I'm really lucky. There are still radio stations that want my show syndicated over there. Or they want me to come over to their stations to do shows. And they're 24-hour streaming stations. You know, one of them has the capabilities of paying royalties out on artist music. I haven't done it yet. And now I have a computer that I could, you know, but I haven't done it yet. You know, and it's like, how much more harder do I work for artists without reaping some type of benefit? You know, and so, you know, I decided to come on the show today, you know, and take it to the airwaves for people just to really hear my voice and hear my thoughts, hear a bit about the conversations I have with my daddy to, you know, conversations I've had with industry people. And when I say industry people, they are not people on my level. Mm-hmm. They're above. You know, they're top, working with top quality. They're living off of this. You know, they're traveling. Their artists are traveling. You know, some of their, you know, one artist, you know, actually won a Grammy, you know, this past season for the Grammys. You know, so it's just interesting. You know, and I appreciate those that came out to listen to the show. I appreciate you, Delon, and, you know, coming and sharing your thoughts and your time, you know, with me. And, you know, it's not necessarily an easy conversation for me to have, because I never want anybody to think I'm not passionate about artists and that it's all about money, because that's not what it is. But it is about growing and expanding and making moves. You know, and building win-wins. And I really want to impress upon people, what does that look like for you? What is the win-win in what you're doing and with those that you're connecting with? You know, I've heard people in the uproar behind Trayvon Martin and the unfortunate situation and circumstances behind his trial and his death. You know, and there are people around the United States that have put together gatherings, you know, for people to come and talk about it, you get their feelings out, come, unite with others on, you know, coming up with ideas of what can be done in their own communities. And many of those meetings have gone with just very few people attending. And that's sad to me. I think there are a lot of people who talk about a lot of things, of what they would like to see change. But I think there's fewer people that want to be about the change. And I want to be about the change. I want to make a difference for artists. That's why I do what I do. That's why I'm here tonight on Flava News Radio talking about it. You know, I had hoped with all the people that, you know, hit that button and asked, you know, what did my daddy say about, you know, what was going on or wanting to hear my thoughts. I was hoping that they would raise their hand tonight and come on the show and talk to me. You know, and if they're listening out there, I hope that they understand what I'm saying, you know, and take it for what it's worth. I know that I'm leaving it up to interpretation for people to interpret this the way that they choose to, and I'm okay with that also. You know, but I had really wanted to open up a dialogue because it looked like enough people were interested in what it was that I was thinking and feeling. And so, you know, I'll put it out there. One more time, there's about 20 minutes left in the show. If the dialogue gets, you know, goes pretty good, even, you know, we can stay on another hour after the show stops streaming live where it's going to be recorded still and can be heard in the archives. So I'm going to give the number out again, 347-857-1189. You can hit that one button, and I will bring you into the show so that you can share your thoughts about what I've talked about and what Delon has shared tonight. If anybody who is on the switchboard right now wants to join us, just hit that button, and I will bring you in. But again, Delon, thank you so much, my friend, for, you know, joining me in dialogue and allowing me to, you know, share my thoughts. And I appreciate, you know, you being open and honest, you know, with what you feel about, you know, for yourself as, from the standpoint of an artist.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, I've always, you know, supported everything, you know, you making your moves and doing your thing. The only other thing I would add real quick is, if I could share with you something. Good friend of mine, I'll leave him nameless. He's an outstanding producer, and he shared a lot of the same frustrations that you're sharing. You know, years back, he was like, man, you know, everybody's hitting me up, you know, calling me for technical advice or advice on how to, you know, do music, blah blah blah, and they want everything for free, and I try to support these people and blah blah blah. And then finally he had to kind of not throw in the towel but say, okay, I'm only going to work with very serious people who see my vision and are willing to pay for my production. That's what I feel is worth it. And, you know, now he's got music on Love and Hip Hop. He's had two placings on Behind the Music. He's part of ASCAP. He's part of, music boards and things like that, and you know he's doing some really great stuff, and he's on his way. You know, I mean, I think he's got maybe a couple of major people trying to hit him up now for production. You know, so I say that to say that right now maybe things may be a little cloudy and you're not sure where the sun's gonna come in, but don't despair because I do believe that you're on the right path. And, you know, like I said, I do take your advice to heart, you know what I mean, for me. And it makes me look at myself like, okay, well, you know, I need to do more of this. I need to do more of that, less of this, less of that, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I just got to get out of my spell of and really start making it happen. Because, like I said, there's a lot of people such as yourself that want to see me win. But I have to... there's stuff I have to personally take also so that I'm in a position to win. You know,
right.
Who's to say who may have heard me sing on your show before and say, hey, man, that kid's talented, but what's he doing? You know what I'm saying? Kind of like, well, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, well, on to the next. You know, who's to say how many opportunities I may have possibly blown? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I say this to say that please don't despair and feel like you need to give up. You know, it may require you saying, hey, I'm going to have to cut some people loose so that I can concentrate my efforts on those who deserve my efforts. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's nothing wrong with you getting paid. And that's what my friend, the producer, is doing. You know, he's getting paid for his work. You know what I'm saying? And he went through years of heartache. You know, his father said, you know, thousands of dollars on him, on musical equipment and programs and, you know, and all that other stuff. You know, he would be up to, like, literally 24 hours a day, and he's a family man on top of that with kids, you know, studying not only, you know,
doing the music, but looking behind the scenes of why does a program work the way it works and what more can I get out of it. And this kid was genius. You know what I'm saying? He's not a kid, he's a man, but you know, he's put a lot of his personal money, his own personal time and sacrifice to get himself in a position where, you know, people in the industry are looking at him like, okay, he might be coming up. You might want to start paying attention to this guy. So I feel that you're doing what you, you know, you're on the right path. It just may require you doing like what he did and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I can't deal with everybody. I can only deal with those who are putting me in a position to win and who are willing to pay for my time, which is worth it. And, you know, you're not asking for much. You know, I personally paid that kind of money, too, you know what I'm saying, that you asked for. And I'm not trying to pat myself in the back or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that if you can't get a dollar out of somebody, then they're not worth the effort.
Right, right. You know, I have a dollar bill that was mailed to me by a homeless artist. And I carry it with me in my wallet. And sometimes I forget that it's in there, you know, and other times I dig in a certain pocket of my wallet and there it is. And it reminds me, it's like if an artist who was an amazing talent, you know, who was at that point living in a shelter, could mail me a dollar bill because they believed in the Flava News movement, I thought that makes it worthwhile. You know, that makes it all worthwhile, you know, that she could do that. And and it's interesting, what is the excuse, you know, for not wanting to help build something? I don't know. I mean, I know that there are people who don't like to pay online. I respect that. But again, this particular person actually mailed me a dollar bill, you know. And again, to impress upon people, a dollar can go a long ways when your network is very large and you get a significant number to give just a dollar. Out here in Seattle, a soda pop costs $1.49. You know, a pack of gum costs like $1.49. You know, if you smoke cigarettes, you know, they cost out here, I think, $7, somebody told me.
Yes, $7, $8 now. Yeah.
You know, there are people who are paying $15 to get in a club, and then they're paying $10 per alcohol drink. You know, and I'm like, people cannot say they don't have money because they spend on what it is that they want to spend on. The brokest of people are still spending money.
Right.
You know, and so it's like you can't say that you don't have the money, you know. And in you not acting, in a sense, is telling me what I do doesn't matter.
Right.
And that's kind of hard for me to swallow. You know, my daddy and my mom and my godmom came up in a time when people built together. They had meetings. They figured out what they needed to accomplish the goal. My godmom was the head person of the Black Mary Mahoney nurses out here and the Alabama people. Every month they had a meeting. Every month for both of those groups, the members of that group gave a $25 paid dues. Then they hosted events throughout the year to raise money, and they helped put kids through college. You know, and they built that together. My dad has been a part of so many organizations and groups throughout his life. And generally there was always some form of fundraiser or dues or something that had to be paid to build. If you go to church and you're a member of a church, it costs money to have a church building. It costs money to rent a space in a school to hold a church meeting. it costs money to turn on the lights and to have the sewer and water running for bathrooms in a church, to have pews and hymnals and Bibles. You know, it all costs money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so things are not for free. And if nothing else, man, help share that I'm playing your music. Tell
mm-hmm.
people I'm playing your music. Because that in itself is a win-win for me. Do you know that the more hits I get to Flava News Radio, I get paid by Blog Talk Radio? So that's another way that you can help Flava News, is
mm-hmm.
by getting hits to the radio shows that I play your music on. Because then I don't know if it's monthly or quarterly, a check gets deposited into Flava News's PayPal. You know, so there's different ways that you can help me, you know, grow something that can further support the efforts of artists. You know, this is not about me being able to buy leopard shoes. You know what I mean?
Right. It's
so not about that. It's about me being able to grow and provide better services and more services to support artists. That's what this is all about. If for
right.
me to keep my sanity, like you said, DeLon, means that I cut back on who I support, maybe that's the direction I need to go, because I'm a Cancer. I love hard. I care hard. You know, I am committed, I am loyal, I'm passionate when I believe in something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when this, you know, and so maybe some of this takes a toll on me just because of my own personality,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, man, if you do not know anything about me and you start following me, you have to know I love artists.
Yeah. I mean,
my whole purpose of being online is to support artists. I rarely go to my Susan page. Rarely. They are so boring over there. They never get to hear from me. Sometimes, you know, my grandbaby's picture gets posted on my wall. Okay, that's the other thing. Now, I was told I post too much. And that...
Really?
I was told I post too much, and that the whole thought is that, oh, there goes Lady Flava posting about another artist. And that I post about too many artists, that's why people don't hit the like button. Because it doesn't stand out for them, because I post about a lot of artists.
Well,
but, man, if I post a picture...
What would you do if you stopped? Now, suddenly, they would say, oh, you don't like certain people, or you... You know, you're hating now and all this other stuff. I mean, you can't win that battle. I mean, and I'm just going to keep it real for a moment. You know, on my page, you know, for the most part, people are supportive if I post something musical. But, you know, I get less and less likes and shares at this point. And I think, you know, it's not that... You know, because I really don't want to say it like that. It's not that they're not supportive, but I think it's kind of like, okay, well, when's he really going to do something? Then I'll stop supporting. And, you know, and then, because like I told you before, if I suddenly got signed to Sony and put out a platinum album, I probably couldn't get... I wouldn't know what to do then. You know what I'm saying? Because now everybody and their mother would be hitting me up. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying I'm not saying it in a bad way, but I know that the love would be a little more prominent. I would put it. You know what I mean?
Well, and that was another thing that I was told, you know, recently from one of the industry people, that people don't want to build with somebody else. That they want to, they'll consider getting on board once they see you being successful.
Right.
And I'm like, how are you, like, serious? Like, how
mm-hmm.
does somebody get to that point of being successful without building with others, mm-hmm. you know. And so, you know, it's just interesting some of the things that I've heard, you know. And, mm-hmm. you know, and when I sit back and I think about it and why these people are saying it and feel the way that they do, I get it. I do get it. I may not like it, but I do get it because mm-hmm. what they've said has been proven. You know, I talk about the Flava News movement, and it, you know, what, the same people hit the like button? Mm-hmm. You know, the three or four or five people hit the like button, but, oh, my goodness, if I post up a picture of myself from 10 years ago, I'll get 30 hits right away. You know what I mean? And that's so yeah. not why I'm on Facebook.
Yeah.
But I sit back and I laugh about that, you know?
Right.
Like, how do I get all these hits to a picture of me from 10 years ago, and I really want you to pay attention to the artist that I'm right. trying to support?
But you know what? I think people sometimes kind of question the motives of certain things. And I don't know why that is, because, like, for me personally, I'm just speaking to myself. I've really mm-hmm. stopped posting, at least on my Facebook wall, anything that I do musically too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I got something in the inbox once where it was kind of like, well, why do you keep doing that? You know, like, what are you trying to prove? You know, it was almost like as if to say, like, I'm looking for attention. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
seriously? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I go to other artists' page and they post something like literally every single day. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've even seen, you know, a couple of pages of people where they actually get offended if nobody is, you know, bowing down to them. It's like, you know, hey, I posted this up and no one said anything, and, you know, you guys are all a bunch of MFers and all this other stuff.
Right.
It's like seriously? Like, mm-hmm. You know, so I'm just like, you know what, let me just cool out, and, you know, I do my music stuff kind of outside Facebook. If I post something on my page legitimately, is because, you know, I think that it's something that I at least personally think is, you know,
mm-hmm.
worth of real of value that people haven't seen before or something like this, you know. Because, like I said, I'm on YouTube on several videos, but
mm-hmm.
I don't keep reposting those because people, you know, have already seen it, you know, and then, you know, I get the sense that it's kind of like, okay, we get it. So I just kind of feel like, okay, well, you know, let me leave it alone. I'll wait till
right.
I get that, where I'm on the charts, something worth talking
right.
about, I guess, in their view. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I suddenly was on Ebony or Jet or something like that, or The Source Magazine, whatever it may be, or Vibe Magazine, you know, like I said, I know that the outpouring of support would be dramatically different. You know what I mean? So, and it's not a disrespect thing to anybody, or, you know, I'm not angry with anybody about it. I mean, I get it. You know,
and I think it comes back to, you know, what, you know, people have said about me posting too. It's like, okay, there goes Flava just posting another for another artist. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we've talked through what a compromise would be to it, you know, and it, you know, a compromise that was thought of is that, you know, I post about my core people, you
mm-hmm.
know, so that people really recognize what it is that I want them to pay attention to when it comes to Black Sax, Mark, Monica, you know, Lamont, Alvin, you know,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. I post about my core. And then 2 days a week I post about the artists, the other artists, you know. And
right.
so it's just certain days that I post, you know, about mass artists, and then the other days are dedicated to the people who are my money makers.
Right.
You know?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. I would just say is that I understand their point, but they have to keep in mind that someone like myself,
mm-hmm.
who likes to see other artists and find out what's going on, you know, like I'll go to your page or other people's pages that post a different artist I've never even heard of before, or
to even just to keep up with, you know, with, to keep up with the black statues and the Monica Lemay's, because I can't go to Facebook and look at everybody's page every single day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go to, you know, your page sometimes or whatever and say, oh, okay, that's what, you know, here's their latest video.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll hit that like button or the, hit that share button, you know. So, I mean, I understand their point, but they have to keep in mind that not all of us are up on everything. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we go to someone as yourself who's kind of like the newspaper, you know, the CNN for us, you know what I mean?
What would you say, and seeing this again comes back to people's interpretations and opinions, right? And, you know, it's just like somebody telling you, well, you know, what, you got an ego or whatever, that's why you post about your music all the time, whatever, you know? I mean, it's like everybody's going to have an opinion. The thing is, when it comes to artists, the internet is a perfect way for people to be known as an artist because it's easy and accessible. You know, it used to be back in the day, you know, people came out to clubs and juke joints or whatever to hear music, you know. And nowadays, unfortunately, you know, that in-person interaction with product, you know, in hand doesn't take place as often. I do think that's one of the successes of Mark selling his music is because while he's out on tour, he talks to people. You know, he cannot sell his music while he's out on tour because that's conflict of interest because he's not singing his own music when he's out there, you know.
Right.
But he will hand out a business card and he will let people know, go check out my music, you know. And so I do think sincerely that's why we sell so much of his music. I also think that we sell a lot of his music because of the age group and the people that we target who would be honestly interested. I think that's the other thing that artists fail to do is targeting who actually would be interested in their style of art. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think when you go all over the place and you're posting, that's kind of annoying because people who post up, you know, commercial rude hip-hop on my wall so get deleted. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
like, don't do it. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, that if you don't know me, then find out, you know, what can go on my wall and what can't, you know. So, but, you know, so Dylan, you know, before we close out the show and all, what do you think is an effective approach to promoting? What causes you to pay attention?
Well, it gets back to quality and the vision, you know. I mean, I have had people say, well, you know, if you took a better picture or if your music was produced right or whatever, and, you know, sure, it may sting a little bit, but you have to accept the fact that can't everybody be wrong, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because they're the people who are buying. There's a reason why hits have certain elements that they do. There's a reason why movies sell the way they do. You know what I mean? And when it comes down to the marketing, it has to grab your attention. You know what I mean? And I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, I'm not going to lie. You know, sometimes you do read a book by its cover. I've gone to a gas station, which is something big down. I don't know if it's just in the South, but I'll go to a gas station, right? And they'll have, like, all these CDs, you know, so-and-so DJ remixed and all this other stuff. But the packaging, if it looks, you know, if it looks like there was no effort put behind it, I don't even give it a second glance.
Right.
And I could be missing out on maybe the hottest, you know, street mix CD or whatever it is. But because I looked at it and said, man, it, you know, they didn't even try to put any graphics or whatever it may be. You know what I mean? We have to face the fact that people do judge a book by its cover to
right.
some degree. And so.
And I agree with you on that one. You know, and I appreciate that you brought that up because that's not something I've touched on, you know. And I do think that when you can put a visual graphic together or something that's visual to capture people's attention, that's going to be the thing that captures their attention. I do realize that when you type a lot of words, people generally don't want to read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been told that over and over, that people don't want to read a whole bunch of words. So you either have to write a few words to capture their attention, or you need to create that visual that's going to draw their eyes to what it is that you want them to pay attention to. And you're right. You know, when it comes to a final product that's for sale, man, you better have it done well, in my opinion. I mean, I know that there are some people who can just hit the streets and stand outside of Walmart and sell CDs or whatever and maybe get, you know, $5. I mean, I've supported artists, you know, who've been standing outside with a ghetto blaster outside of my Walmart, you know, and, you know, some of it, you know, hasn't been terribly bad. You can tell that they have a talent, you know, and some of it's been absolute crap, you know. But I guess I appreciate that hustle, because they could be slinging something so very different, you know, so I respect that. But I'm with you, DeLon, that if it's not put together well and you put something in a jewel case with the CD written with a Sharpie on it or something, like, come on now.
Yeah.
Like, that's something you give out, you know, just because you want somebody to get a taste of what you do or something. You know, but
right.
if you're putting a product out there for sale,
mm-hmm.
you know, you really do need to think about the packaging, you know, and
right.
how it's going to look. I think that one of the reasons why Alvin Horn is so successful with his books is because the covers are so attractive. Now, thank
right.
God they're amazing books, you know, once you read it, you know,
right.
but the covers draw your attention. And when I was so heavy in the literary community, I always told that to authors. Your book cover
right.
is going to be the first thing that's going to capture people's attention, whether you go into a bookstore, which we know bookstores are closing down, just like record stores. You know, but or you go online, you're going to notice a book cover over anything else that's going to draw you to want to read the synopsis or whatever. Now, for
right.
me, I'm such a visual person. I go, when it comes to a book, I'm pretty hard on it because I like the font to be a certain font. I like it to be formatted a certain way. So I go, like, kind of in a sense to the extreme when it comes to a physical book, you know, but. Yeah, it's going to be about that visual that's going to draw people in. So, you know, people who have events and who have radio shows or whatever, I really encourage them to have some kind of visual out there with all the information, the pertinent information on it, to tell people how they can be, you know, they can contact you or the location of the event, the time of the event, the day. It's amazing how many times a flyer will go out without the information. Radio shows with no link to the radio show,
right.
you know, or whatever.
I mean,
like people, you
I mean,
know, people,
right.
you know what I mean? So it's like when you create that visual, also make sure that it has all the information somebody needs. So they don't have to come back to you and ask for it, because most likely, if you don't provide them the information up front, they're not going to come to you and ask for the information.
Right.
You
I
know,
mean, here's another thing to think about, too. Like, you know how they have bootleggers, right? That, oh, hey, you can get a bootleg DVD or whatever. Now, is the same movie that you would pay, you know, $10 plus $20 extra for the popcorn and stuff to go see at the movie theater. It's the same exact movie. But if it's a bootlegger out there and, you know, they kind of, like you said, use a Sharpie and said it's, you know, King Kong or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You're not going to, and you're already going to be like, uh-oh. Like, in all likelihood, because he used a Sharpie, the quality is probably not going to be all that great. So I'm not going to spend my last dollar on this guy's DVD. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you're willing to see the same exact movie, you know, high def and all that other business, 3D, at the movie theater. You know what I mean? So that's something to think about, too. It is about the packaging, okay?
Well, and I will say this about the bootleggers. you know, they take away from the actual artists and creators of whatever they're bootlegging, making the money.
Yeah.
You know, so that's disturbing to me, too. Like, if somebody was to get a Black Stack CD, right, then they put it in their duplicator because, you know, their friend wants a copy of Black Stacks too, you know, or whatever, then so, you know, it doesn't make any sense, you know, that, you know, you don't step up and support, you know, the artist. You know what, Delon, let me jump into a track so I can go open the door. Just a minute, please.
Oh, okay.
Okay, my daughter just came to the door and she's locked out. So let me turn on a track and I'll come back.
Okay.
Thank you. carry no kind of weight. Your life is too safe when you put more value on the money you make. Yes, take a real good look at the world outside. Standing on the same corners where your soldiers have died. Homie, why don't you try to be the change that you could need? Organize the people and teach them to be. Guess we're living the dream. No more hidden mixed up the kids and dreams. Now we put it down on paper, keeping it clean. Married to the music, man, we're living the dream. You know what I mean? Yes, we're living the dream. No more hidden licks, just a kid's dream. Now we put it down on paper, keeping it clean. We're married to the music, man, we're living the dream. You know what I mean? Yes. Take a little ride with me. Have a look around and we'll see that we fight for the right to be free. Just to make things of ourselves. From the soul, entertain the masses, the young and the old. Guess we're living the dream. No more hidden liquor, just to get the dream. Now we put it down on paper, keeping it clean. Married to the music, now we're living the dream. You know what I mean? Yes, we're living the dream. No more hidden liquor, just to get the dream. Now we put it down on paper, keeping it clean. We're married to the music, now we're living. You know what I mean? Yes, we're living the dream. No more hidden licks, just to get the cream. Now we put it down on paper, keeping it clean. We're married to the music, now we're living the dream. You know what I mean?
Nobody can quite love,
nobody
like
can quite love, nobody can.
Nobody can quite love,
nobody can quite love.
Why don't you? Why don't you? Clap for me, clap for me. Come on, come on. Let's go, let's go.
Every day is milk and honey.
You've been listening to Lady Flava Shares. Just thought that I would do a show tonight, kind of impromptu to share my thoughts. I've been posting a lot online about, you know, conversations I've been having with industry people, to even my daddy, who's my biggest cheerleader. He's never told me that I disappointed him. He's always let me know that he's in my corner, and he's always told me he believes in what I've built through Flava News and Flava News Radio. You know, I don't know where I'm going to go, which direction I'm going to go when it comes to this. I will never stop doing radio. I will never stop supporting artists. I may change up the direction of how I show my support and who I show my support to. You know, bottom line is what Daddy said. You know, I had put this out there. You know, do you want to know what my Daddy said? In the end, Daddy said, support those that support you. That's an interesting thought, huh? Support those that support you. So stay tuned. I will be here on Flava News Radio. I will be here tomorrow morning doing Flava Coffee House online radio style. This will not stop on Flava News Radio. But, you know, the direction may change a bit. But I appreciate all that tuned in tonight to just hear my thoughts. I had hoped to have more people, you know, actually participate in the show, because a lot of people share thoughts, and it's interesting how many won't share it publicly, you know. But it's okay. I don't have a problem doing it for you. So tune in again to Flava Coffee House tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as I share, you know, great music, as always, and great conversation. Today at the end of the show, it was kind of perfect timing. My daughter needed to be let in, so I went to a track, and I thought, you know what, why not just close out the show with some great music so people know why it is that I'm passionate about what I do and why I love coming and doing shows on Flava News Radio. So I closed out with Anthony David playing his track On My Way to Crazy. Then I played Bashari Assad with LTD, Simply Beautiful by Monica Monet. And then I played Love Can Change the World by Brian Copeland. And closing out with a very, very special woman to me, Catherine Hume, with her piece Way Too Fast. She is somebody who was the very first customer to my actual coffee shop here in Seattle, Washington. and she stayed by my side all the time. I remember really jacking up my toe, moving some furniture around, that it lifted my toenail off, and didn't have health insurance, you know, to go to the hospital to get it taken care of. A nurse lived in the complex where my coffee shop was, and she came down and removed it and all of that. And Catherine came by, and she nursed it back, you know, to where if you would never know that it ever ripped off of my foot. So I'm loyal to those that love me. I really am. I'm loyal to those people that are in my corner and that are sincere. You know, I love what I do. I love being Lady Flava. I will always support the arts. So just, you know, continue to follow me. And, yeah, there may be some changes coming up. Take care. God bless. And follow me here and the amazing talents that come my way on Flava News Radio. Good night.